All right, so welcome to Office Hours. This is the Office Hours for AMA for Mr. Prime and Neos. And hello. If you have questions, please drop them in the Office Hours channel that's two above where it currently is. I do have a couple of sort of bits of preamble. First of which is people notice my Patreon. Thank you so much for those that have subscribed to my Patreon. I did want to clarify that before any sort of rumors or Twitter threads or anything like that happened. I'll also be producing a, I don't know, post or video or something about it. That Patreon is if you wish to support me personally. If you want to support Neos the company, do the Neos Patreon. That gets you the storage space. If you want to support Frooks personally, do Frooks' Patreon. If you want to support me personally, then that's okay for me. As for what you get when you're doing that, nothing currently. I might add some perks, but they're not going to be any sort of perks that you want to write home about. Bare minimum perk will probably just be like, hey, you're in my YouTube video description for every video whilst you're a patron, which is standard stuff until your patron list gets too big and then you put it in like credits in the video and stuff like that. But yeah, we're not going to have cringy stuff and no explicit perks, unless you have ideas for perks, in which case go for them if you're interested. Probably enough talking about that. Just one final note there, though, any money submitted to there is not going to be used for guns or explosions or cool cars. It's going to be used for buying cheese, buying groceries, or buying food, basically. Like, that's all it would be used for. I did a funny, I pushed the wrong button there, but you know, there we go. That it's just like, it's literally there. Like, you know, I know some people are like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get money from Patreon, buy a fast car. It's like, no, I'll never buy a car. I can't currently legally drive, so if it's there, it's for food. Thank you. Otherwise, cheese. On to questions. That's the other thing. If Neos ever gets to the point where it's able to actually purchase me, that sounds wrong. If it's able to get to the point where it can pay me in whatever fashion that is, I will cancel that Patreon and focus it back towards Neos. That's that. And for those sitting in here going like, oh, so it was about the money after all. It's not about the money. It's about the things that like are around that, right? Do I want to like quit my job and work on Neo stuff full time? Yes. Would I do that in the current circumstances? No. Not if Neo's the company had a check for $1 million. That would not happen. So do keep that in mind. It is still not about the money. You know, if I offered you a check for like $1 million for you to be inside an incredibly loud boiling room full of sound and needles and sharp objects and glass and lectures about the nature of reality. So, you know, you're in pain. You can't move. You're very hot. You'd say no. Just think about that. Money isn't everything. So now we'll move on to questions. So Ozzy asks, real quick question. Can NMJ track the use of bool fours? Probably. I don't know. The advice I have with NMJ is if you go ahead and take an object and run it through the two string node, you'll see what NMJ representation should be applicable for it. For example, if you have a float three, like you might write a float three, and I know this is just in the chat and not the recording, but like whatever, you'll write it as like three numbers with a comma in between. So 120, 50, 10, like that's a float three. And then if you two string that, you'll see something along the lines of this, which exists in the NMJ as a serialized thing. The reason why it's using those brackets and it's using semicolons rather than colons, commas even, is because it's going into JSON and commas are weird in JSON as our quotes, so it's using that as a different thing. So if you two-string something, you'll usually see what it might be able to be looked like in NMJ. What I want to do eventually for NMJ is I want to basically take a lot of C# data structures that I can code in C#, right? So if I write a float for a bool for or whatever in C#, I know it's correct because C# has, you know, runtime detection on that. And then say, cool, now reverse generate an NMJ file for that. And then that can form actually part of like an automated test for NMJ as well, right? So we take a C# file, we generate an NMJ file from it, and then we check that that matches an expected known value. So Prime looks over the class, goes like, cool. Prime looks over the generated output and goes, cool. And then we lock those together in the form of a testing contract. And then if one side breaks or the other side breaks, we know that there is a problem with NMJ. For those who are unaware about how testing works in software, that's how it works, right? You read over the code once and you're like, I am asserting me, probable Prime, emperor of this C# class, says that this is what this program should output. And then 6 months later, where new person on the team Clarence makes a code change and accidentally breaks something because they're new, the test go, nah, sorry, bro, it's wrong. And then it's caught before it goes to production. That's testing for you. We want to do more testing on Neos as well, just to make sure that stuff doesn't break or that we know when stuff is about to break, things like that. So we actually have we have some testing and some benchmarking on a new node, which isn't in the release yet due to hashtag announcements. On count occurrences, we have benchmarking to prove that the count occurrences implementation is the fastest we can get it to. Very interesting write-up on that one. I actually might write that up on a blog somewhere at some point. And then we have testing to make sure that it works appropriately. The same with a couple of other nodes which are sort of escaping and unescaping strings. Some advancements to those. I had to write a bunch of tests for those. Again, that's tested, right? So if it ever breaks, we can test it. That's great. I know that's a tangent away from NMJ, but it leads to the point of the matter, which is like, NMJ doesn't have those right now. And so we in some cases don't know, but if you two-string it, you sometimes get an approximation and then you can try and chuck it in. That's that question. Moving on to the next question. Spec says that they don't know the session metrics. Okay, I still don't know. And the problem is like, it's not notated. I'm gonna go ahead and open up the code base. I actually didn't look for you. I looked in Neos, but I didn't look in the actual code. So I'll open up the code base. That takes a couple of minutes. And then in gaps between any questions, I'll take a look. Oh, interesting. Thank you for that example. That is not how two-string would represent it at all. Interesting. What does a float four look like? Where a float four looked like a, you know, the brackety stuff. That's cool, X. We should maybe collaborate on those tests. I can write those now because like you can write tests about like, you know, shipping codes to productions. You found out it is milliseconds. Yes, of course. I didn't read till the end. Sometimes I do skim read. It's just the nature of being sort of live on Sage at Sage. Yes, I'm on top of a pile of sage, the best herb in the world. For those who are here who are aware of what sage is, sage and onion stuffing. Just give me like a whole plate of stuffing. I remember I lived with a roommate back in my university days, and they loved stuffing so much. They would just buy like the, you know, the stuffing powder. You mix in water, maybe some milk sometimes, and you just get like a plate of stuffing. And he would just eat that like all times of the year. Sometimes he would stock up on it. I've never really had that reaction except to eggnog. Like I hate the fact that eggnog's only available in December. I don't really drink eggnog before I came to America, but every December now, I'm just like, I can't hold these liters of eggnog. And for those who say like, but you know, you could make it at home. And I'm just like, yeah, I could also like, you know, follow Bob Ross's painting tutorials or like, you know, learn a musical instrument. But when eggnog's available in the shops, I could just pick up liters of it and take it home. I always forget the recipe as well. And you add like any alcohol to eggnog, it's great. You warm it up a little bit and it's just like, oh my God. Anyway, I think that's all the questions we've got right now. Hence why I'm talking about eggnog. Well, the problem is shelf life, right? So you know that there is a lot of, you might not know, but most of you should know, there is a lot of wastage in the sort of grocery department. Like when you're walking through the grocery aisle next time you're shopping and you walk past all the meat, like walk past, you know, the steak, the ground beef, the ground chicken, the sausages, walk down that entire aisle. If no one buys the like rotting deceased animals that are in those counters, they will be thrown out by the grocery store. And it's just like brain is just like boom. It's just weird, right? But that's the grocery industry. Same thing with eggnog, right? If no one buys the eggnog, then it's just going to rot and they have to throw it out. So yeah, okay, Prime might come in and buy 7 liters a week, but they've got like 100 liters out back because they don't know that Prime exists. They can't plan for that. If there's like long shelf life eggnog, it probably tastes worse. I know there's like long shelf life milk, which is usually like tastes weird because they put it in like canned milk or something. They put it in like a different type of treatment so that it can have a long shelf life. I've considered getting powdered milk. I know this is completely off topic, but like, hey, this is why you come to office hours. Come on, this is why you come. You come here for random Prime stories. Whenever I need milk, it's like usually 10 milliliters or less. It's like a teaspoon or whatever for cooking. And I buy like a container of milk and then it just goes off. Or I buy an entire box of cereal and a carton of milk and they're both gone within 24 hours. I just can't, I can't process milk as a regular human being where like you have a carton in the fridge at all times. It just doesn't occur to me. It's either like in a bowl of cereal or it's off. That the two states of milk for Prime. I was debating whether to go on to the story of how to dispose of off milk. Nah, let's not do that. Because I have a special mechanism for getting rid of off milk. Okay, back on topic from Unnamed Cyborg Cat. Thank you so much. When will Nies be finished or released? It is released. It's released into Early Access. I know that Early Access gets a lot of sort of stick in the community, and that's because it, you know, there are games that stay in Early Access forever. I'm not calling this game out. I'm just mentioning I'm aware of it in the press that this is happening a lot for this game. 7 Days to Die has been in Early Access for a long time. I bought 7 Days to Die off Steam like a long time ago, and I would have to like rummage through my email accounts to find out which email I bought it from. So that's interesting. I keep playing Early Access games that aren't completed, and I hit like a content wall. Like I did that with Satisfactory. For those who don't know Satisfactory, you get to like phase 4 or whatever. You just send it up and they give you a coffee cup and that's it because they don't have any more content. I'm about to hit that wall with a game called Grounded, which is really cool, where you play as shrunken children in a forest. It's not actually a forest, it's a lawn. You know, you have to try and do stuff to get back up to your regular size. And again, there's just a content wall where it's like, sorry guys, we didn't finish the game. The nature of Early Access. So to actually answer the question with that prefacing, never. Update 6 is coming out. Update 6 just talks about, sorry, we're talking about Satisfactory again. Update 6 just changes the biomes, the biome generation, and rebalances combat a little bit. That is good content. Unfortunately, it is changing the biome completely of where my main base and my main Satisfactory save is located, because we chose to build it there before we knew that that was going to happen. So I predict after the update, when I load the save that I have, it's just going to be like, off your factory is in the side of a mountain. Woo! I would like Satisfactory to have an update where there is an end of the game. I don't know. That's Early Access for you anyway. Going back to Neostherm's realms, I don't think it'll ever be finished or released. There will come a time, sometime in the future, where there are no more updates. I know there are no updates right now. Let's just imagine for just like 30 minutes, please, that Neos is doing fantastic right now, please. It makes conversations a lot more sort of empathic and good to have. At some point in the future, this situation notwithstanding, there will no longer be an update. Let's say 20 years in the future, 30 years in the future, you're like ancient. You sat on a rocking chair, you've got a blanket on your legs, your family all around you, and you can barely walk 3 steps. And, you know, you're just like, back in my day, when Prime talked about cheese, you know, and we didn't have all these features. At some point, it's just going to happen, right? The game will just stop having updates. At that point, could you say it was finished? Yeah. Probably not, though. There was probably like a realm of stuff that we still intended to do. Like, I used to work on Mixer, and again, we had a realm of stuff that we just intended to do, but because Mixer shut down, it was therefore colloquially known as being finished, right? I have notes in a notebook that's on my desk. It's almost out. It's my work notebook, and it's still got Mixer notes from features in it. I have to keep those until whenever leave the job, but then I kind of have to sort of return that notebook to them or shred it or something. I don't remember which. I'll read when it comes to that. So there you go, there's the answer to that question. Now onwards to more content. 15 minutes in, we're still talking about random stuff. Rusia says, not a question, the amateur radio project with the red sockets, the red sockets, it's a catchy good piece of software, red node. Anyway, WebSockets causing red nodes. I separated the important radio control and signal report data into 2 separate WebSockets and added an impulse timer on the signal report WebSocket node. Does appear to have prevented the red nodes from happening. Absolutely, yeah. Split the logics up, split things into data channels, and make sure that you're only processing data at the speed that you need to process it at, or slow down that data, and you'll have a much better time. If you're worried about now that your project is now using 2 WebSocket nodes, what I want you to do is to go to any popular website, Facebook, Twitter, you name it, whatever you want to do. YouTube's another good one. Open up the developer tools, and then go to the network tab, and then hit refresh, and then just, like, die. It's just like, there's just like thousands of pieces of data just coming in, and all they do is they represent cat memes on your computer entering your brain through your eyes. It's very interesting how the way the world has worked. So don't worry about complexity is what I'm saying. Like, if it works, cool. Moving on to Lex's question, which is, any specific reason why the Aeneas API is not cause compatible, not having the required cause headers for crosstalk web API access, like an explicit decision, or because it's not supposed to be used? I know I'm paraphrasing that a lot. I apologize. I'll just sum up. So Lex is asking why the Neos API doesn't have cause headers. Cause is cross-origin request something. Sometimes I know what an abbreviation means, but I don't know what the abbreviation expands to, if that makes sense. So cause is really cool, but no, we don't have the headers there. It allows other websites in the browser to talk to the API. It can be a security preventative measure to explicitly opt out of cause headers. We don't have them because we haven't made a decision either way. When it comes to web services, Fruxius is less knowledge about those than other things, such as, you know, Neos' actual engine. And so some of those decisions just either weren't made simply through time or weren't made because they don't know about them. I'm not trying to say, hey, Fruxius didn't know about that, they're bad or anything like that. What I'm trying to say here is sometimes stuff is just overlooked. Above all the other things I do in Neos, one of the reasons why I joined the team is actually to help out on the website side of things, right? I am a web developer, engineer, whatever you want to call it, by trade, and have been for a long time. So I can help out with things like that. We would have to have a discussion as a team about what we want to do about cause, and particularly we'd have to speak to developers that require cause, see what their needs are, because I don't think we'd be able to enable cause on every single like API, and would have to maybe decide which ones we wanted to enable it on. Additionally, we need to make sure that the API is actually usable. Right now, the fact that you're using it is kind of just like a small miracle. Like any update could break it right now. We have nothing locked as contracts. Rusio commented that everything is actually implemented in Node-RED. That's fantastic. I really want to look at Node-RED, but like I got kind of put off because I'd have to set up a server. One of my principles right now is to just do serverless everything. So I need to look at Node-RED again, see if there's an easy way to run it. I just like not having machines running somewhere that I have to like SSH into it. It puts me off. And with that, we'll wait for more questions. Thank you so much, guys. All right. Just, you know, double enforcing. Hey, if you have any questions, please drop them in the Office Hours channel. That is two channels above the one you clicked to get to this meeting. And I'll answer them as soon as I get to them. As there are no questions, I get to ask you guys a question. So do you have any tutorial requests currently? I know I've been like absent on the tutorial front for a while. That's because of the channel of its announcements. It's also because of a couple of personal things. If you have any requests, do let me know. I'm hoping to start those back up. I was umming and ahhing about it because I'm like, why would I do tutorials for like a platform that is like, you know, struggling? And the answer there is like, hey, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to continue doing tutorials, continue servicing that community. And hey, if the platform continues to struggle, I don't care. It's my channel. Neos related question above. Did I miss a question? I don't see a question. Oh, there are thoughts on the Redex file searcher. I have no idea what that is. Oh, I do. I just didn't know it was called that. That is a searcher that searches through all public folders that are been indexed by. It actually uses Gilifex's like database, as far as I'm aware. That has scanned through using the web API all of the public folders that it's available for. It cannot find your private content. It cannot steal your avatars. It's just scanning through public folders. If you happen to put something you don't intend to inside a public folder, make sure you select it and hit that purple hand icon. That will prevent it from being public. It removes it from public. I like it. I built one myself shortly before I joined the Neos team. When I joined the Neos team, I shut down mine. It still exists. I still have the code for it. I would love to release the code, but the problem with releasing the code is that it basically tells you how to use the Neos API to do what I'm telling you, which is to build that database. And I don't want to be liable is the wrong word, right? Because I'm not doing anything wrong, but I don't want to be liable for support in how that code works because of the state of the API. So when I joined the Neos team, I was like, hey, it's much better if I spent more time making things in Neos that I want to make a reality, such as the inbuilt, you know, item searcher exist, rather than spending time on this item searcher, which will inevitably just become a time sink for me when people look at it and go, that's really cool, but can I make it do this? And me have to go like, oh yeah, sure, if you push XYZ, it'll do that. But yeah, I have one that is closed source right now that exists. It's really cool. Like, it's really, 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 really cool. I just put a pause on it. Looking at tutorial quests, someone was talking to me about those ones. So Froppy would like a tutorial on the forward node. Yeah, like vector mathematics is like exceptionally like strange in the once you start using it, you're like, oh, that's easy. Oh, why didn't I think of that? So if I'll be specific, talking about the nodes such as forward, up, left, right, down, they're like vector-based things. What you need to do is sort of imagine a gizmo always being on your object. Let's say you have, I don't know, like a goose NPC, right? That goose has a forward vector, and then you can do maths of that forward vector, and it's usually better than doing other forms of mathematics. A good example here is if you have an object with a global position, again, we'll just call it the goose, and you set its position to its forward vector times a multiplier, and then add that onto its existing position. So you do its existing position plus its forward vector plus a multiplier. It will move forward at that multiplier's interval. Let's say its forward vector is straight towards, we'll just say, the front of the world, just to avoid the mathematics for right now, and you do front, and you do front times 5, it will move 5 units in the front of the world, and it's beautiful, right? You don't need to do any sort of mathematics to figure out, oh, which direction am I, which rotation am I, and there's no trigonometry involved, it just does it. It's beautiful. So yeah, I'd love to do a tutorial on them. Moving forwards, oh, Rusio has asked for a 3D math tutorial. I don't know if I want to expand into, like, actual education. I can. I will have to put disclaimers at the bottom there, though, that I am not, like, educationally licensed. I don't know if I need to, but I probably will. Like, I can teach things like trigonometry or Pythagoras or stuff like that. I can teach, like I said, the forward vector, etc., stuff like that. They come into a sort of, like, weird thing. Like, am I doing math tutorials for people who might not be NEOS related, or am I doing tutorials for those who are in NEOS and want to use those mathematical concepts? Because I think there's a realm for both. There is also another question. I know this is meant to be about NEOS, and I tell people off for asking how I am and stuff, but I never quite know what to do with my YouTube channel, right? My YouTube channel is NEOS tutorials. NEOS tutorials, cool. If mathematical tutorials that weren't associated with NEOS, or Blender tutorials, or VRChat tutorials, or Chill Out VR tutorials started appearing on that channel, is that okay? I never know. Like, I know that, like, bigger channels, they, like, make multiple channels to host their, like, random stuff. You know, there's, like, Big YouTuber 1, and that's where all their, like, really highly produced videos do. And then they usually have, like, Big YouTuber 2, and that's where they put, like, less effort-y videos in. And then they have Big YouTuber - Gaming, which is where they just play games and stuff. That's what they usually do, but I don't know if I want to do that. I remember replying to a tweet from Easton. Easton tweeted, like, something, you know, didn't want to post anything about non-NEOS content. And that was strange because, like, Twitter is my space, and if you follow me on Twitter, you'll see I sometimes retweet random stuff that doesn't make any sense and has nothing to do with NEOS. But that's my time. That's my timeline. Those are my tweets. If you don't like them, you can buzz off. So I think I should probably adopt that approach to my channel as well. I'll still keep it to, like, tutorials and learning and stuff like that. But hey, if I wanted to do Blender, like, or VRChat or whatever, you might see stuff on there. I know people have asked for it. I actually don't know how VRChat works. Most of Avatar 3 is just like, So I'd have to go learn that and do that, but I think people would appreciate it. Anyway, that was another question to you. So let me jump through the other questions that we have here. So Lex asked, do you think there'll be another competition similar to NEOS Creator Contest, not NEOS Contest Contest, but totally fine, which will be officially run by the NEOS team? In due course, yes. Read # announcements. We will have the MMC 2023, which will be... probably, I don't know, it's not announced yet, but it'll be sort of start of the year next year, sort of maybe February time again. I have no idea how MMC 2023 is going to be, but now that you've had that quick succession, which was the October MMC and then the February MMC, you can have a gap. Relax. No contests. However, you are free to have your own contest. If you want to set one up, I'll get to that in a moment, Lex. I'm sorry. I wrote that page. I'll get to that in a moment. What I'm sorry to say is, if you want to have your own contest and you can get sponsorship for it, go for it. Don't feel obligated to, you know, let us know or anything like that. Good example here being Festa. Festa's been running for like 3 years, and to be honest, I still have hardly no idea who runs it, what it's about, etc. I just know it's cool. So cool, do it. Do keep a look at... look at, like, a good example here is to look at AltSpace VR, right? If you go to AltSpace VR, it's more an event theme platform, so you can look at the event tab. In the event tab, it's basically just, like, anything from live music to conversations about sort of philosophy and religion and stuff like that. And there are events that you can just go to. And I know for a fact, because I know how that team works, that they don't know the events that are happening on their platform. They do if there's, you know, any sort of breaks and rules or anything like that. But they're just like, yeah, if you want to do it, go for it. I bet you there's like a sort of underwater basket weaving event on Altspace VR, and it's just, it's great. So what I'm saying there basically is more events equal good. If you want to do another event, do it. It'll be cool. Moving forwards, any tutorials about AnimChase would rule. I actually don't know how AnimChase works. That's one of the reasons why we haven't had an AnimChase tutorial. I don't know how it works. I'll have to like look it up. And the only reason I can know how it works is by doing that C# class thing I mentioned, because like, cool. There are a bunch of snippets, like the one Lex provided, like the one other people have provided, you know, the JSON files where it's like, here's how to do one thing. But it's kind of hard to talk about NMJ in isolation. There are lots of people making tools for it as well. But like if I was doing a tutorial for it in the interim, it would literally just be like a notepad document with me typing it. Which is like, it's going to be interesting, but it's basically like a tutorial for people who then want to make tooling for NMJ. But I still think it's worthwhile, so it is on the list. Kip, who says, I joined late, which node handles the vector math? All the nodes, plus, minus, divide, times, all can take float threes and they can do the vector maths. The specific nodes that we were talking about earlier, though, were forward, backwards, up, down, left, right, etc. And those ones are the ones that are very good. If you know how to use them, they're a lot faster than sort of other ways of doing things. Like a vehicle, really easy with the forward node, for example. Specs says they are very much in need of a hand poser tutorial. I don't know. Like the hand poser component itself doesn't really have any sort of configuration options on it that will allow you to sort of tweak like how tight the hand closes or how open the hand opens. There might be settings on there on the VRIK side of things. If I was going to do a hand poser specifically tutorial, it would just be to how to like set up hands manually, which I think I already have. But as for like different grip poses, I think it is. I think we have a Neos GitHub issue about that one. Then Lex points out that the NCC page on the Neos wiki says the Neos contest, which is entirely my fault because I wrote that page. It was the Neos creator contest. So Neos creator contest, not the Neos contest. But hey, if you want to make the Neos contest and make it a meme, go for it. I will update that page when I remember to. Spec says that they have an avatar with askew fingers and it was led to the hand poser as a solution. You can have a look at the hand poser. What I would probably do first of all, though, is take a look at your rig and see what the hands look like in their T-pose state in like Blender or whatever, and then see if we can sort of figure out anything from there. There is a limited amount of stuff we can do in adjusting those. It's really finicky, though. Like, it's like manual mathematics on, like, each finger, and it's just... Honestly, just fiddling with it would be good. I would say that I can have a look, but that's what I would be doing. I would just literally be fiddling with all the numbers. Maybe get some pictures into questions and help, see if anyone else has come up with the issue. I'm not going to say, like, hey, go poke them, because they might know, because I don't know if they'll know. But like, I have a vague memory that Dorky might have had a similar problem with another avatar, so they might know. Hence, get some pictures into questions and help. Maybe someone can see that and ask and get some help. With that, I believe that we are out of questions. I hope you've enjoyed Primetime as much as I have enjoyed Primetime. If you have any further questions, feel free to ask them in the Discord, DM me, send me pictures of cheese, whatever you'd like. I will get back to you as soon as possible. I didn't upload, I forgot, I'm really bad at this. I'll get better, I promise. I didn't upload the previous episode to Sounder, but I'll put both episodes on Sounder today and get those in you. Get those in here. Wow, I'm losing the ability to English right now. I'll get those into this channel. Let me know how sound is going, by the way. I know some people prefer like notes. I'm just trying to like save time right now. If I had more time, I could type up notes. If you want to type up notes based on the recording, go for it. I'm just like, it became really time-wasting. I like time-wasting because it is good time. What's the word? Time-intensive to do the notes in the old way. And at one point I had like 3 recordings I had to go through and like type notes for them. And it got like, this is like 4 hours of me just listening to my own voice. This is horrible. Please stop. So that's why I went to the different approach, which meant like, hey, at least the recording's there. There were also some complaints that the notes didn't reflect accurately what I said. And the reason there was because I was summarizing, right? In the written notes, I was basically like, for Spectre's question, for example, I'd be like, posting questions or not. as the notes. And people are like, well, that's not what you said. And it's like, well, it's the action item about what I said. The action item was posting questions and help about it. The fact that I meandered for like 3 minutes talking about the hand poser is inconsequential. It doesn't really fix the problem. But there you go. Windows H? I'm not doing Windows H. You should do Windows key G though. That's the game bar. Game bar's cool. Used to stream to Mixer. Then they had to pull that code out. Anyway, I'll leave you here, guys. Any other questions, let me know. I will get back to you as soon as I can. Bye-bye.